Now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. I have invited my buddy Pat McShay, investigative reporter extraordinaire, back to the program because he recently published a new article, Satan Laughing Spreads His Wings Over Gaza. You can find it at https://stateofthenation.co/?p, the equal sign 194570. Now, if that's too long an address, just go to your search engine and type in Pat McShay, Satan Laughing Spreads His Wings Over Gaza. Pat, welcome back to Power of Prophecy.
Hey, Jerry, it's always great to be with you.
Last week, I had Pastor Matt Furse on. We talked about what's going on in Israel and Gaza and the Palestinian people. I've got Pastor Chuck Baldwin coming on next week. So this whole month, after the events of October 7th, which Matt Furse suggested could possibly have been a false flag to save Bibi Netanyahu's political backside, but it doesn't matter if it was a false flag or not. The fact is, Pat, that these Israeli defense forces are basically committing a genocide. They are trying to ethnically cleanse Palestine, aren't they?
Yeah, they sure are. And international outrage is really intensifying over this indiscriminate bombing of this the defenseless citizens of Gaza, let's face it. And they've conveyed, Biden and Tony Blinken have told the Israelis that they're going to have limited time to kill as many as they can because the outrage has really escalated. So, you know, the problem here that we've got is that they just don't tell the truth about what's going on. A good example is these hospitals. They bombed every hospital in Gaza now. They bombed 50 different medical clinics in Gaza. Days after the bombing of the Al-Shifa Hospital, which is the last bastion of humanity in northern Gaza, a convoy of ambulances was bombed. Medical workers outside of the hospital are being targeted and shot by Israeli snipers. And now we're seeing that the bombing operation has exhausted the food supply in Gaza. So now we're seeing genocide by starvation. These people have no food. They're blocking water, food. They're blocking electricity, no internet. And, you know, it's just disgusting what's going on. And they are treating them like animals. They call them animals. And, you know, I wrote in my recent article that an Israeli general, Zaika Fogel, confirmed in an interview from 2018 that Israeli snipers are ordered to kill Palestinian children. So they're intentionally shooting Palestinian children because they're ordered to. They also use 2,000-pound GBU guided missiles on the Jabalia refugee camp, which is a densely populated camp with tens of thousands of people. They're using these giant 2,000-pound bombs that have killed over 200 people in a two-day period. And they're also killing, or they're wounding, the last I read was over 400 people wounded in this two-day bombing campaign. So, and this was all to target one Gaza or one Hamas commander, supposedly. So it's really disgusting that they're even dropping this kind of munition in such a densely populated area. Yeah. Mostly women and children. The director of the hospital there is an Ethiopian surgeon, and he said most of the casualties and wounded they're seeing are women and children, not fighters.
Right. Well, when you consider what is written in the Babylonian Talmud, that if you're not Jewish, you're goyim, you're beasts, you're cattle, that would seem to portend that snipers would feel no remorse for destroying the lives of women and children, just erasing them from the planet because, well, they're worthless beasts and they need to be culled from the herd.
Right. Right. Well, the famous rabbi, what was his, Yosef, the Rebbe, he said he was one of the most famous Israeli rabbis in over 100 years. He said non-Jews have no reason to live other than to serve the Jews. And, you know, unfortunately, that's how most of the Israelis think. Now, I don't know. I'm not saying every Jew in America believes that, but I believe that the Jews in Israel believe that. And I know that a number of these Israeli, I wrote about this just a few years ago, a bunch of the rabbis in Israel were saying that they should imprison the Palestinians and enslave them because that is the only purpose they serve. So, that's where the mentality is there.
Mm. You know, it's funny because right now it doesn't matter which news source you turn to. And I am here to tell you that I am not pro-Palestinian. I am not pro-Zionist, pro-Israel, pro-Jew. I'm not anti-Palestinian, anti-Jew. I am a Jesus first person.
Right.
And I hold no ill will to any ethnic group because I believe they all need to come to Jesus.
I agree. I am not a big Hamas supporter, but I'm for peaceful solutions. And, you know, there is just no one, unfortunately, in Israel. There are no Yitzhak Rabins in Israel anymore. There are no moderates in Israel. They are all fanatics. They are all far right wing. And, you know, Yitzhak Rabin was one of the early supporters of the two-state solution. But supporters of Benjamin Netanyahu back then were calling for the death of Yitzhak Rabin right before he was murdered. So Bibi Netanyahu, his hands aren't clean in that instance, I'm afraid, either.
It would not be a shock.
No.
The conniving. But as I was saying, there are so many things out there in uncontrolled and controlled media that are so pro-Israel that they're distorting the public opinion. Because of my stand that these people need Jesus, and I know there are a bunch of Christian Palestinians, but because of the way I portray this incident, I would be labeled anti-Semitic.
Well, unfortunately, Jerry, everyone like us, they are calling us anti-Semitic simply for calling them out for this genocide. So anyone, you know, I look at the Jews a little different than I do the Zionists. The Zionists are fanatics. And, you know, the average Jew, I'm sure, is not sitting around hoping that all the Palestinians, you know, die tonight. But the Israelis do. They want these people dead.
You've got a quote from Scott Ritter a Marine officer and a weapons inspector for the UN that, man, it is so powerful, and he would be labeled anti-Semitic, but what he's speaking the truth.
Well, you know, anyone who hasn't heard Scott Ritter speak, he lived and worked in Israel. He worked with the Israeli army when he was an officer in the Marines. And then later when he was a UN arms investigator, and he began to see the other side of Israel, the side that he was not aware of. And that was the fanatical side. He was in Israel the night that Yitzhak Rabin was killed. He saw the riots and he saw the hatred of the Netanyahu crowd and the hatred that they had for Yitzhak Rabin. And he was warned by some of the people that he worked with in Israel that Benjamin Netanyahu was, you know, a nut job guy, you know, and he was going to be troubled. So he's very aggressive. He was the guy that they brought in to be the hammer. He was going to be the security president, but he let them down. And I do believe it was a false flag. They had the army, the IDF, stand down for 7 or 8 hours. And they had Israeli witnesses that said that the Israeli army were killing Israeli citizens in the kibbutzes along the border, attack helicopters, the Apaches, that the Israelis got from the United States were used against the people along the border, killing Israelis as well as Hamas. And they also said that the damage done to the Israelis' houses along the border, the damage was done by Israeli tanks, which, you know, Hamas does not possess tanks. And they don't have heavy, you know, armored vehicles. They don't have guided missiles. Now, these things are all things that only Israel possesses. So, yeah, I do believe it was a false flag. And I also think the number, they're now up to 1,400 Israelis dead. I think that's a complete exaggeration from everything I've read.
You know, this scenario that is playing out is eerily reminiscent of what happened in Germany when Hitler tried to forcibly remove all the Jews, the bankers, and all the business people that were in Germany that were Jewish. The Zionists said, no, you can keep them. And they're expendable assets because they yes. need to push the narrative that, oh, we're the victim.
And yes,
this plays right into that. I mean, why else would the IDF go in and kill so many of their fellow citizens if it's not to further some agenda that we may not even be aware of?
Right. Well, one thing I wrote in my most recent article there is the fact that they have found massive oil and gas reserves under Gaza, and Bibi Netanyahu, according to reports, is already handing out contracts to 4 or 5 big oil companies, including British Petroleum. So there's one big reason why they're doing that. Another reason is they're getting ready to build something that's been in the planning for years, and that is a new canal that's going to rival the Suez Canal, and it's projected to go right through northern Gaza, right about where the hospital is that they're bombing back to the Stone Age. So, yeah. You know, the Koenig report was a report that was put out by the Israeli government back in 1975. And you'll never hear anyone on Fox News read this, but It says we must use terror, assassination, intimidation, land confiscation, and the cutting of all social services to rid the Galilee of its Arab population. Boy, let that sink in.
Wow.
You know, they admit that they're going to use terrorism and assassination. They're going to steal land, which they continue to steal land. You know, the settlers, it's kind of funny. They call these people they bring in to steal this land. They all are armed. They shoot the Palestinians. They drive them out of their homes in the middle of the night. They steal their valuables. They cut and burn down their ancient olive groves. And they just hate these people. This is what they never show on American television. Fox News will never be honest about any of this. You know, you've got these people like Kayleigh McEnany and some of these women on Fox that, you know, get teary-eyed every time, you know, we have a story of an Israeli child that was killed. But for every Israeli that's killed in this conflict, 23 Palestinians die. So we're not seeing any fair assessment or any fair numbers coming out of this conflict.
Yeah, and you and I talked, we've talked about this numerous times, but one of the cash cow businesses, I guess you would say, or endeavors, is the harvesting of body parts to sell them on the black market. That is disgusting to think about, but they're doing it to fellow human beings.
Yeah, Israel has been, Israel's been accused of a body harvesting in Palestine using the Palestinians for years. And, you know, I hear the same things going on right now in Ukraine. Have you heard that?
No, but I'm not shocked when you consider that the majority of those that reside in what is now Israel came from that region.
Right. And, you know, the Israelis, they had a big part in what's going on in Israel or in Ukraine right now, too. And don't forget that our Jewish Undersecretary of State, Victoria Nuland, whose husband wrote the plan for Bibi Netanyahu back in 1998 to take over the Middle East and have regime change in seven different countries, starting with Iraq, and they needed a new Pearl Harbor type event to light the fuse of their conquest for, you know, total domination of the region. And that Pearl Harbor type event was 9/11. 9/11 was another Israeli false flag attack that anyone that wants to look into Christopher Boland's research, mm-hmm. You know, I wrote about this a while back that Dr. Alan Sobrowski is an American Jew who was also in the American military. And he was a instructor at West Point, and he was the head of instruction at the Army War College in Washington, D.C. And he has already said that he is 100% positive that Israel was behind 9/11. So people need to wake up. We're being drugged down this road in Israel right now, the Middle East. And I believe it also has to do with a long-term plan to draw Iran into a bigger war. Bibi Netanyahu has accused Iran of being 2 weeks away from a nuclear weapon. For 22 years, he's been saying that. So Netanyahu will get his cake and eat it here with this latest attack. He'll be able to kill big numbers of Palestinians, and he'll be able to take over a lot more land. And while this is all going on, the settlers over in the West Bank are no doubt continuing to drive Palestinians from their homes. And it's just not going to end until all the Palestinians are gone. Bibi Netanyahu spoke at the UN about 2 weeks before the October 7th attack, and he had a map of Israel in his hand that he showed, and it did not show Palestine on the map of Israel. So I think this has been planned for a long time.
You know, you see the number of student protesters, and they're called all kinds of warmonger, anti-Semites, nut jobs. But when you start looking at some of the poll numbers, and you've got some of those in your article here, 51% of the respondents of a recent poll said that we should quit sending any more aid to Israel. That's kind of shocking, Pat.
You know, I think people are just really shocked. I said in the article that I think, like a lot of things, that the internet has really hurt support for Israel, among other things. But, you know, let's face it. Most Americans grew up pretty much brainwashed from birth to support Israel. If you were in any kind of church, whether it was Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, didn't matter, you were told to support Israel. All the pastors in America not only support Israel, but you've got guys like John Hagee that go completely nuts with Israel. And, you know, I just think since the internet, people are waking up. There are a lot of great sites out there that are telling the truth, like MondoWeiss.com. You've got reports from, you know, some of these other news agencies, like the one that Noor Harazin works for. I think it's GBT News. She works right there and lives in Gaza. You know, I hope she's still alive. I saw one of her reports a couple weeks ago. She was doing a report right next to this hospital that was bombed, and she broke down in tears while she was reporting. I mean, this stuff is just heartbreaking. And then you see these ridiculous reports of this, you know, Israeli reporter that's embedded with the IDF that Fox News follows, you know, like he's Dan Rather or something. And, you know, he's breathlessly reporting, you know, that one of their bottle rockets landed in the middle of a playground and put a little hole in the ground, and shrapnel broke out a couple windows in a car. And that's their big story of the day. So, you know, it's ridiculous, that we're not hearing more of the truth, but you're never going to see a report from someone like Noor Harazin showing us what's really going on.
Oh yeah. No. We cannot let the truth out there, Pat. That's why they've been trying to censor things since before 2020, when the Rona was unleashed upon us. You know, censorship you can't even fathom how much they have increased the amount of censorship. And you mentioned it. The internet has become a haven for truth tellers to be able to get the truth out there, to get the true story out there, and you the know, powers I, don't I want would, that to happen.
Oh yeah, I would tell people, I wrote about this, somebody that doesn't really know much about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, I would tell them to watch one of my favorite movie westerns, Shane, with Alan Ladd. And while you're watching Shane, just imagine that Jack Wilson, the gunfighter, and all the bad guys he works for are the Israelis, and Shane and all the overmatched and outgunned sodbusters who are threatened, bullied, and forced from their land and farms or murdered by, you know, the bad guys, those are the Palestinians. And if you look at Shane like that, you'll understand perfectly what's going on in this conflict. It's right. Really sad.
You still have the warmongers in Congress that are either co-opted by the Mossad
Or, oh, yeah, look at Nikki Haley, Nikki Haley and Joni Ernst and some of these cheerleaders. It's just disgusting that they come on and say Israel has a right to be, you know, blah, blah, blah. Hey, that's great. But if you don't know what genocide is, if you're not sure what it looks like, then get out of office, because you're only going to do your country harm. And these people aren't helping anything, I don't think.
No, they're fomenting more death and destruction. You know, they're either tied in with a military-industrial complex, or they're under the thumbs of lobbyists that, or they've got dirt on them, a dossier full of dirty laundry that cannot ever see the light of day. I mean, these politicians are doing the bidding, and you've got the Christian Zionists, the Judeo-Christians, that, like Hagee, that are pushing Israel first, Israel first. And therein lies my problem. As I said earlier, I'm Jesus first. They need right. Jesus. They don't need to be supplied with untold amounts of ammunition and ordnance and bunker busters. I mean,
well, you know, I've got an aunt. I don't know if we've talked about that, but, you know, she questions my Christianity because I don't support Israel in this. I mean, look, you know, Jesus called them the synagogue of Satan, as far as I remember. Yeah. And, you know, I don't buy that anyone that can do what they're doing is godlike. So, you know, that's just a problem. It's like, you know, porn when you see it, you know, certain things when you see it. And these are not good people that are doing this. So I just can't support it. I don't think the majority of Americans, if they really knew what was going on, I don't think they'd support it either.
Not at all. Not at all. If the truth ever was able to be broadcast on regular media,
yeah,
the people would fall out of themselves because they've been lied to for all of these years. You know,
yeah.
God's chosen people, they were given this land by God, and that they deserve to have it. But when Tex came out with DNA science and the Jewish bloodline, and realized that they're Khazars, they're not even the ancient Israelites.
Right. And it was Shlomo Sand and Arthur Kessler, two Jews that also did the research on the whole Khazar bloodline. So this was not, you know, some Gentile that some hated non-Jew that came up with this. It was two Israeli Jews that came up with it. You know?
But we can't, you know, Shlomo Sand, Ilan Pappe, none of these Jewish gentlemen that actually dared to publish truth, they're persona non grata now. They're almost as bad off as Salman Rushdie is with the Muslims. And you mentioned it, the synagogue of Satan. It's in Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. And when I talked to Pastor Matt First last week, he said, yeah, it says synagogue of Satan, not the mosque of Satan.
Right.
Well, they're in.
And, you know, and Netanyahu, in all of his hostile incompetence, is unwittingly uniting the Shia, the Sunni Muslims, and the Turks. He's bringing them all together.
Yes, he is. I want to talk about that when we get on the other side, Pat, because that takes some serious work to get these factions of the Muslim Brotherhood together and all on the same page. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. My guest today is Pat McShay. We are covering Satan Spreads His Wings Over Gaza. We're going to take a brief pause, and when Pat and I come back, we're going to dive right back in. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you about Texas' outstanding, groundbreaking book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Who are the Jews? What is their ancestry? Are the Jews a homogenous race? Are Jews descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Well, today, DNA science reveals that almost all the Jews in the world come from Khazaria. They are not the blood lineage of Abraham and the prophets, but of King Bulan and the pagan peoples of the Caucasus. The ancestors of today's Jews are not Israelites, but are Khazarians. Khazaria's people in the 8th century converted from paganism to Judaism. In the 10th century, these Khazarian Jewish converts emigrated to Eastern Europe and especially Poland and Lithuania. In 1948, the Khazars, erroneously believing themselves to be Jews, arrived in the territory of Palestine and set up the State of Israel. The people of Israel today are virtually all of Khazar Turk-Mongol stock extraction. The Jews have no genetic claims to the land of Israel and no family connection whatsoever to historical Israel. DNA science joins recent discoveries in history and archaeology to present the world with a correct and remarkable picture of the Jewish people. Now, everything changes. 256-page book by Tex Mars. We're only asking $20. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $26 for DNA science and the Jewish bloodline. You can phone us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone us on our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those same charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for DNA science right there on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method, hit submit. We'll get it and get it coming to you. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. We look forward to hearing from you. We look forward to serving you. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Pat McShay. Pat, welcome back.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Jerry.
You know, you mentioned something that I never, because I read fiction and nonfiction, Pat. I'm always reading something. And even the fiction that I read is steeped in a lot of truth because the author wants to make it authentic, real, something that you could plausibly see that would occur. Tom Clancy was great at that. I read Vince Flynn. He's great dealing with the terrorists and the Muslims and the Wahhabis and all of the fanatics in the Muslim religion. And yeah, you find out, you know, in Vince Flynn, you find out that the Palestinians are kind of fodder for the other Muslim groups like Iran and Jordan and Syria. But the fact that Netanyahu has done so much damage, I mean, even W the Dumber couldn't pull this feat off by uniting the Sunnis, the Shiites, the Turks. Who could have ever imagined? And here you've got Erdogan, the president of Turkey, saying that after this conflict is finalized, Palestine needs to be part of an independent state. That is flabbergasting, Pat.
Yeah, it really is. And you got to think that that is not what the Israelis imagine happening. I would think, matter of fact, a leaked 10-page document from the Israeli Ministry of Intelligence dated October 13th of this year. So that's just a few days after the attack on October 7th, recommended that the forcible and permanent transfer of Gaza's 2.3 million Palestinian residents be moved to Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. They want to move them all out. They want to kill as many as they can, and they want to bulldoze the rest of Gaza, and they want to move all those people out. They're trying to get America to take some of them. We've already taken in a bunch of Palestinians, and so has Canada. None of those Middle Eastern countries want any more. They've already taken on tens of thousands of them in Egypt and Jordan, and Jordan doesn't want any more. Of course, these countries have their own people to take care of. They're not like the United States giving away the country to a bunch of, you know, immigrants that come here and want a free ride. So I don't think that these countries, and Erdogan, he's an angry guy just like Benjamin Netanyahu, and he is not going to put up with the Palestinians just being shoved into the desert. They've got a 500,000 strong army. They've got modern submarines. They've got fighter jets. They've got ships. They've got ballistic, you know, missiles. They've got everything they need to fight Israel, a bigger army, probably a tougher army. And then you've got the Hezbollah fighters, who are very large in number. They also are professionally armed. They've got missiles. And don't forget, people probably don't know that, you know, Hezbollah sent the Israeli army running for their lives not too awfully long ago. So if you throw Hamas and Hezbollah at them, and Turkey and Iran, does that sound like anything that we want to get involved with? That sounds like a world war in the making. And then you've got China, whose, you know, Belt and Road Initiative is going to be affected by this new David Ben-Gurion canal that's going in. And don't forget, there are oil fields off the coast of Gaza that oil money should be going to the Palestinians, and instead it's going to the Israelis. They're stealing that oil, and they won't even allow fishermen to fish off the coast of Gaza. They routinely shoot at unarmed fishermen, Israeli gunboats. So it's just unbelievable. You've got rock throwers against heavily armed thugs. And that's the picture. David against Goliath.
Very much so. You know, in your article, you said that the UN has called Israel the worst violator of human rights on the planet.
Yes. What, 140 different violations just in the last 10 years or something? I mean, it's always that way, though.
And then you throw in the fact that Israel has over 400 nukes, and they're not part of any nuclear proliferation treaty. They won't even let inspectors come in.
Oh, no.
I didn't know this until one day I just got curious. So I Googled up Google Maps. I Googled Dimona, where the nuclear reactor and where they do all the nuclear weapon building.
Yes.
And it shows up on Google Map, it did. And then you zoom in, and it's blurred out. You couldn't see anything.
Right. Well, they've been lying about what's going on there for years. The fact is that Israel, Christopher Hedges, great Middle Eastern war correspondent and author, he said that Israel is sustained by lies. The lie that Israel wants a just and equitable peace is a lie. The lie that Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. That's just nonsense. There's no democracy there. And they have second and third class citizens. Right now they're trying to deport all of the black Jews out of Israel. They don't want black people in the country. They're horrible racists. The lie that Israel's an outpost for Western civilization in a sea of barbarism. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And the lie that Israel respects the rule of law and human rights. That's just nonsense. So everything that we get, the brazenness of these Israeli lies stuns people that do reporting over there. Hedges wrote that it didn't matter if, you know, he had seen an Israeli attack. It didn't matter if he had interviewed witnesses. Didn't matter that the guy was unarmed. He said it just didn't matter if they had photographic evidence or video evidence. He said that the Israelis would lie about it. He said they lied about small things, big things. He said that the lies were reflexively and instantly came from the military, from their politicians, and from their media. So it's just a well-oiled propaganda machine, and they count on the Western media going along with this nonsense. And one thing that the internet has done is it's helped people to break free from this mountain of propaganda that's coming from Israel.
It's
disgusting.
The internet is a great tool if you use it properly, which is one of the reasons that Twitter was so heavy in censoring items. Zuckerberg over at Facebook and Instagram, censoring items. Google, they don't want you to have ready access to boots on the ground reporters that there's no agenda. They are there to tell the truth and the whole truth. And like you said, when they get there and they see the atrocities being committed by the Israelis on these poor Palestinians, it's unfathomable the depravity of what is going on. And you had mentioned earlier a two-state solution. And I've heard this for decades, it seems like, that there's going to be a separate nation of Palestine and a separate nation of Israel, but Israel won't have any of that, will they?
No. And one of the reasons is, you know, Admiral Thomas Moore said after the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty, he said that we've never had a president that will stand up to Israel, and we still haven't. And I don't think, you know, unfortunately, I don't know that we ever will, but they're never going to have a two-state solution, which was first proposed around 1993, but it calls on Israel to surrender the stolen land in the occupied territories, and they will never agree to that. They've continued their plundering and stealing land for the last 30 years. No president, no Western leader has ever spoken up. The UN is toothless and powerless to stop them. So the brutality moves forward under a mainstream media blackout of the truth. You know, there's no free press in America. It's just disgusting that the two-state solution again won't work because Hamas was created by Israel to get in the way of the two-state solution. You know, why would they continue to support Hamas, which they do? Benjamin Netanyahu, as recently as a couple of years ago, called for more money to go to Hamas. So they don't want to get rid of Hamas because Hamas is being propped up by Israel And they, of course, have in their bylaws that they won't put up with having a Israeli state, and they won't recognize an Israeli state. So that gives Bibi Netanyahu and guys like him the excuse to say that they cannot go along with a two-state solution. So they need to forget about the two-state solution, because it's going to take Israeli cooperation, and they're never going to get that.
It is beneath them to even bother to entertain something that would cause them to give up any land that they've stolen. It's almost like you'd have to admit that you actually stole it in the first place, and nobody wants to do that, especially Netanyahu and the other con men that are over there. And, you know, you mentioned the oil and the gas reserves under Gaza. That really is the whole end game in a nutshell. It's follow the money, and you will normally come to the cause of why there's a conflict.
Right. You know, it's like that new movie I wrote about that, the Killer of the Flower Moon, the new Martin Scorsese movie with Robert De Niro. It's all about these rich guys in Oklahoma that stole that land from those Indians. When they found oil on the land, they started killing all those Indians off and stealing their land. That's exactly what's going on right now in Gaza. They're killing off these defenseless people, and they're stealing their land. They're stealing everything they've got. So, you know, Netanyahu is also, I wrote in this article, that he's also very corrupt. Just this summer, just a couple months ago, there were thousands of people outside his home in his gated community in Israel. He's a much hated figure by a lot of people in Israel now. Everyone there knows that he and his wife are corrupt. And did you see his son is apparently not interested in his father's war? His son's living in Miami Beach. That figures, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Wow. You know, you mentioned that we haven't had a U.S. president ever stand up to Israel. I guess the first who attempted to was Truman, but he still had to recognize Israel as a country, just not a Jewish country. But Obama was probably the closest, and when you consider that he's a Muslim, I wouldn't call him a Christian, although they tried to portray that. But
all right.
Tex talked about Obama being warned vociferously by the Mossad, by the Israelis, for daring to make anything that could be perceived as a negative comment towards Israel.
Yes.
But he's probably the closest we've ever seen, and he was.
Well, there could be. You could throw John Kennedy in there because a lot of people believe that he was murdered because he refused David Ben-Gurion's request for help with their nuclear program. Not only that, but Kennedy wanted to inspect the Dimona location, and he was pretty much being refused admittance. And so it was getting down to where Kennedy was becoming threatening that they had better allow inspections of the Dimona facility. And not long after that, Kennedy was murdered. And there's been a couple books written about that. Mark Lane, I believe, wrote a book about that. So that might be something to look into if someone has an interest. I put a video in there about called The True Face of Israel. People need to watch it. Israel is one of the few countries on earth that imprisons little kids. They sentence kids to prison, and these are horrific prisons. They detain little kids, and they take these big rocks, and they'll break their arm or their leg, and then send them home with a broken bone. Another thing the Israelis do is their snipers, I don't know if they think this is funny or not, but they target these people's crotch areas, and they shoot them in the crotch.
Mm.
All very true, very disgusting, but people should go to that article and watch the true face of Israel. It is really a tough, tough video to watch. People won't be ready for the Israeli brutality. But if you can sit through this video, you will understand, you know, why I feel this way about what's going on. It's really just disgusting that the people that are making excuses for them on American television just don't know what they're talking about. And the ignorance is just astounding.
You know, when you consider what happened in the late 1900s before the roaring 20s, the Jewish bankers, the Illuminati, decided that the only way for them to carry out any of their plans and not be exposed for the warmongering that the posture they had was to purchase all of the newspapers, radio stations, publishing houses. So when you finally understand the fact that these are controlled entities by one ethnic group that controls what you see, what you hear, what you read, that therein lies most of the answers to what's going on.
Right. I would like to throw out my Twitter handle. It's @J_McShay, McShay. People could see all my articles on there and a lot of the posts that I put up, but follow me. I've been kicked off of there 3 times, so I'm back fairly new again. And they're still not back where they were, but Twitter is much better than it used to be.
Musk has done some good. I think there are still quite a bit of shadow banning. You got suspended recently on there, didn't you?
Yeah, I've gotten suspended twice since Musk took over. Just short, like 24 hour suspensions.
You troublemaker.
Yeah, I don't mind that, but it's this permanent banning that really gets me down.
Right. And it's all part and parcel to controlling the narrative. People don't realize that propaganda in the media used to be illegal, but it was, I think, the NDAA of 2012 legalized the media usage of propaganda from the federal government, made it legal so that they can indoctrinate you with the messages that they want. That makes us as bad as what happened with Pravda under Stalin.
Yeah, well, there was the Schmidt-Munk Act, and Obama rescinded that. Was it Obama that rescinded it?
Yeah, in 2012, I think Obama was in office.
Yeah. Yeah, that was there was a law that the government could not use propaganda against the American people. And since they got rid of that, we honestly don't know what they're showing us on TV is really true.
Right.
Which is why, you know, we've seen crisis actors and various things like that. We don't know how many of these shootings or school shootings or a lot of these different things. We don't know how much of this is true, how many people really died. You know, that's why this whole you know, stuff like Sandy Hook. You know, we don't know what happened there. And when you've got people like Barack Obama and his crew that they know were involved with the whole Sandy Hook cover up, basically, there's no reason anyone should buy any of that as true.
You know, inherently, we should always ask why, who benefits, what really happened. But, you know, I've read this, and I've said this a number of times on the show, that before the advent of television, people got their news either through print, which was rare, but most of them got it through listening to reporters on the radio. And they developed a keen discernment between truth tellers and false operators. Fake news, as Trump called it.
And right.
As soon as the television proliferated throughout our country, every household had one, two, three, it didn't matter. Pictures tell 1,000 stories. And if you remember during the Rona, they were portraying hospitals in New York being flooded with all of these victims of coronavirus, but it was actually footage from Italy. But nobody bothered to say, well, this is what happened in Italy. They portrayed it as what's going on in New York. So then when truth tellers got on Twitter with their camera or their GoPro or whatever, and they went to these hospitals and they're empty, all of a sudden they're going, well, what's the true story?
Yeah, they've been showing these videos of these so-called Palestinians coming in on their, what are those, parasails?
Oh, yeah.
And I was reading one article and they said that video that they're showing on all the news, that's from 5 years ago. It's not from October 7th. They're trying to portray it as being from October 7th, and it was from 5 years ago in Syria.
Yeah.
So they constantly use stock footage and present it as current footage for a completely different event. So.
And we've been so dumbed down, Pat, that we can't tell the difference.
Right.
Our mental capacity to question. And I love the Latin phrase cui bono, who benefits. I love, right. I use that phrase quite a bit because inherently humans are curious and we want to know what's going on, but that seems to have been drained from most people. There is no critical thinking anymore. And that goes back to the indoctrination centers that our children are going to now and that we went through. So they have slowly but surely removed the curious gene, so to speak, from our vernacular. And we just accept what Big Brother tells us, and we're going to pay an ultimate price for this. And, man, it scares me what my grandchildren, great-grandchildren are going to be going through. Well, Pat, we have flown through an hour, brother.
Wow.
It always goes fast, fastest hour in radio, especially when I have my buddy Pat McShay on. Pat, thanks for coming on and being a guest of Power Prophecy.
Well, it was great to be here, Jerry. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Anytime. That's going to take care of this week's program. Pat and I want to thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. We greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.